Microsoft has made no bones about the fact that it needs to grow average revenue per user to continue to fuel its own growth. In the not-so-distant past, that goal would have been achieved by trying to get more customers to move to a more expensive subscription, such as E5 in Microsoft 365 land. But more recently, Microsoft seems to be pursuing the nickel-and-dime approach. Dangle more new features and functionality in the form of add-ons, or in some cases, premium bundles, and convince customers to spend that way. In Dynamics, the focus increasingly seems to be on the premium packages, which has some very big potential implications for customers. Luckily, we have someone here at Directions who can talk us through the more premium side of the Microsoft Dynamics world, which is what we're going to focus on in today's episode. Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the Editor-in-Chief here at Directions, and I'm your host for this series of podcasts, which are designed for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. My guest today, in case you already didn't guess, is Directions analyst Andrew Snodgrass. Andrew covers business intelligence, enterprise resource planning, and customer relationship management, as well as aspects of licensing here at Directions. Before joining Directions on Microsoft, he was a vice president of IT for a global Fortune 500 company. Hi, Andrew, and welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, for Dynamics newcomers, and even for the old hands, let's set the stage. Microsoft has changed packaging and licensing models in Dynamics ERP and CRM countless numbers of times over the past decade plus, and countless is modest, I have to say. Would you say, Andrew, that up until fairly recently, Microsoft seemed to be going along the add-on path with Dynamics, or in other words, selling a base set of modules plus various add-ons to them for specific new features? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your comment about this constant change going on. My second day of the month, every month, is reading through 100 pages of Microsoft licensing on Dynamics. So, yeah, I feel the pain there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this concept, so back in October of 2019, yeah, they removed all the Dynamics plans and suites. It was a big effort they had at the time, and they went completely to an a la carte format, right? And so that means that you, nowadays, what you have to do is you have to buy a base user subscription for everyone, right? Anyone who's using Dynamics. Mm-hmm. And that provides most of what a user needs. And then you buy add-ons to give them more functionality, right? There's no longer a golden ticket out there that gives you everything on it. And the challenge for a lot of companies and a lot of procurement groups is that there are 175 Dynamics SKUs. Oh. And so when you go into the world of Dynamics, it's a bit overwhelming at times, you know, but it's kind of like going to the farmer's market and you have to buy everything separately and put it in your bag and just make sure you've got everything for dinner. So yeah, it's kind of that way now. It's add-on world.
Oh, I used to cover Dynamics back in the day as a journalist. And I just remember thinking every time I'd be like, okay, I get it now. I understand the SKUs. I understand where they're going. And like 2 weeks later, I'd be like, no, actually I don't. Total upheaval. Right.
You know what that's related to is if you've ever watched the movie, The Incredibles, there's a thing in there where he's working for the insurance company and his boss gets upset because someone's infiltrated the bureaucracy. And so when you get to understand it, that's when it has to change.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. But lately, I saw that you wrote a report for our members at Directions that said Microsoft is starting to go the premium route instead of the add-on route with Dynamics. It introduced premium user subscription licenses for its four most important Dynamics apps, which are sales, customer service, finance, and supply chain management. So I'm curious, who is the target audience for these premium licenses? And could you give us a few examples of the kinds of features that they typically include?
Yeah, so the target audience, no one needs to panic on this, okay? Target audience for these premium subscriptions is usually a small set of users in the organization, and they're the ones who need something that's very, very advanced, okay? So if we take a look at finance premium, all right, this includes a new advanced planning module. It's called XP&A, which is Advanced Planning and Analytics. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what it does is it gathers a bunch of data from a lot of different sources, including Dynamics, and then it runs a whole bunch of predefined machine learning processes on it, and it creates forecasts. And then the analysts can take those forecasts, they can run what-if scenarios, there's a whole bunch that you can do there, right? And so this is in a finance department. If you had 100 people in your finance department, there would probably be three or four who would need this kind of thing.
Okay.
Same kind of thing is true in the customer service realm, where there's a customer service premium subscription. What that includes is a call center module called Contact Center. And if you're a long-term Dynamics customer, this is the omni-channel, and there were some add-ons and some other things in there as well. It's got digital messaging, sentiment analysis, a bunch of communication things that aren't in the base customer service subscription. Again, you would usually have this for a group of your customer service agents who need this kind of capability. Now, you could go all in for your call center and give everybody this, but it'd be an expensive choice on this. So usually it's a certain number of people, and they're the ones who tend and curate social media channels. They're the ones that'll interface with users on Instagram or X or any other format like that. And that's what this gives them. It gives them those advanced capabilities.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the price, because I was thinking, okay, these premium licenses have to be quite a bit more expensive than enterprise level licenses, I think. But as you're pointing out,
I do think so.
And I also think there are benefits. Like, it's not all negative, that it's just like a big expensive bundle. Like, there's actually things that you do get that are important. Plus, Microsoft supports these directly. And if you're kind of a DIY type customer and you can cobble together external solutions and Microsoft Dynamics ones, or even Microsoft Dynamics 365 enterprise level add-ons and come up with the same thing, I'd still think it would be maybe less expensive to go premium or not?
It could very well. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And, you know, so these things are expensive. Like, if you take a look at the premium one, on retail in the U.S., finance is like around 185, I think, 165, 185 in that region. The finance premium is 310.
Okay.
And so it is a significant jump. And that's a monthly cost, right? So it's not quite double, but it feels like it at times, right? But these premium offerings, they do provide advanced capabilities. And sometimes you'll be able to go with a premium solution and replace something else that you have in the organization. Like, a lot of finance groups already do advanced planning, and they probably do it with a third-party solution or custom apps, or heaven forbid, with spreadsheets, right? So what you're going to get here is something where you've got these capabilities that are built into the system, Microsoft supports it, and it's always nicer to go to one person and one company to get support than trying to go with internal people and external people and third-party and everybody pointing fingers at each other, right?
Right. As we used to call it, one throat to choke.
Yeah, you know, I was going to use that in today's world. I didn't know if I should.
So I know. It's kind of an antiquated way of saying it's better to have one vendor to blame when things go wrong, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to take a quick break right now so I can talk about a series of podcasts we recorded last year here at Directions, specifically about EAs, or enterprise agreements. So we created a 6-part podcast series where we featured various members of our advisory services team, which is led by Dean Bedwell, and we talked all about the Microsoft EA negotiation process. So if you don't know Dean already, if you haven't been to a boot camp where he's been there, he spent 11 years at Microsoft managing the Canadian business desk, and he was responsible there for negotiating agreements with Microsoft's largest enterprise and public sector customers. So he definitely knows what he's talking about here. In our series, we discussed everything from project management to discovery, analysis, strategies for getting discounts and concessions, and negotiation levers. So whether you are brand new to the whole Microsoft EA world, or you're a veteran who wants to hear more about the tips and tricks that we have discovered over the years, you should definitely check out our EA negotiation podcast series. To find it, go to directionsonmicrosoft.com/podcast and listen to the full series for free. We've also got a deep dive explainer, if you prefer to read something, all about the Microsoft EA negotiation process. It also is available for free. You can check it out on our website at directionsonmicrosoft.com. All you have to do is go to the resources tab and you can read that or any of our other deep dive reports. All up, go to directionsonmicrosoft.com, or you can email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com to learn more about these and all of our other services. Okay, back to all the Dynamics 365 Premium questions you might have, but were afraid to ask with Andy. Okay, during the break, you mentioned we need to clear up this concept of bundles, because I keep saying the word bundles. Some of these new premium subscriptions aren't really bundles, you told me. So what does that mean, and why is that actually important?
Right. Ever since I've worked here, I've become very pedantic on words. And I look for hidden meanings in things that people write, because they write with certain density and use certain words.
It's because you read too much about licensing. That's what I
believe. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I might be. No, I think I am. So what happened here was they came out with all these premium subscriptions. And a lot of places, a lot of people I know called them bundles. And that's okay for sales and customer service, because they actually are, but it's not true for finance and supply chain.
Okay.
And the reason why is that a bundle is a way of purchasing multiple things to get a lower cost, right? Not because Microsoft's altruistic, it's because they want to sell you something, give you a discount, feel like you got something. So if you look at sales premium, okay, this is a bundle right now. It includes sales enterprise and it includes an add-on that's already available separately called Sales Insight. Right. And so if you buy Sales Insight and Sales Enterprise as Sales Premium, you get a discount instead of buying them separately. That's fine. But with Finance Premium and Supply Chain Management Premium, what they include in the premium subscriptions, those features, that advanced planning and all the real things I talked about before, you can't buy those as a separate add-on.
Okay.
When they came out, Microsoft could have offered them as add-ons. And in fact, they've got other add-ons that for those for finance and supply chain management. You know, there's fraud protection and a whole bunch of other things that are out there as add-ons. They could have, but they chose not to. And that's the thing that triggered me on it, was they didn't give you an option to just add it onto your existing enterprise one. They said, no, you have to buy a new premium subscription, and it's only in the premium subscription.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That is interesting. And the other thing that they did was that three of those four premium levels, okay, the premium subscriptions that we're talking about here, those are all brand new in the last 10 months. You know, the sales premium was a bundle that came out 2 years ago, and then suddenly within a short 10-month period for Microsoft, they introduced these new premium subscriptions. And that lays the foundation for a premium strategy. All right? And this is where Microsoft starts releasing more and more new features that they only put into the premium subscriptions. Now, they're going to be high-end related features, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything nefarious here, but it's designed to put more capabilities into a premium level so that more users will be pulled that direction.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like what you're saying is this premium strategy is part of a trend, right? Like that Microsoft's doing something here with Dynamics that they already have done with some other product lines and product families. Is that right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and so, you know, I know I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but I kind of am when it comes to Microsoft and licensing. You know, we've been following Microsoft for decades, and this is a proven strategy that they have used again and again and again, all right? And Microsoft is really good at playing the long game, okay? And if you take a look at it, back they had Office 365 and Microsoft 365, and it was all E3 related stuff, and then E5 came out that was a bundle of features of add-ons that were there, but also had stuff you couldn't get anywhere else, so you had to go E5. Power BI went from pro to premium. Teams went from standard to premium. You know, this is something that we've seen for years and years. And in all cases, what they do is they introduce a new premium subscription to an existing product that bundles several existing add-ons. Mm-hmm. Okay. And where it kind of becomes a little nefarious is that those new premium subscriptions receive premium only features. And this is the one that really gets me the most. is we've seen this a number of times where they will take an existing feature that's in the lower level, enhance it dramatically, and then move it into the premium subscription under the justification of it's been enhanced enough that it is now a premium feature. The problem is, if you were using that before in the lower level, you have to go to the premium to keep using what you were already using. Now, can they do this? Absolutely. This is all, it's all above board, it's all legal, and it's all justifiable. So this is just the way Microsoft herds you to a higher premium subscription.
Right. This totally sounds like what happened with Teams and Teams Premium. I remember they announced a whole bunch of new Teams features that were coming. And I remember asking them, I said, so are these going to just be added for no additional cost to Teams? And they're like, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. And suddenly there was a Teams Premium release. Ta-da! Right. Yep. Okay. So like I just mentioned, that we have Teams. You mentioned Power BI. As falling into the same trend, but do you think more and more customers are going to end up needing the premium releases of Dynamics 365 products over time? Like right now you've said it's a very small group that needs them, but do you anticipate that more and more people in organizations will start needing them? And if that's the case, what kinds of features do you think will make these must-haves? I'm guessing not just AI, right?
Well, yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you? But you can't see anything at Microsoft without AI. And let's throw in Copilot somewhere just so that it gets on the right search engine, right?
Right.
Do I think most of the people are going to need it? No, but I think a larger percentage than when we originally start with it. You know, if you think of that finance department with maybe 4 people out of 100 that need the premium, as Microsoft starts putting more capabilities into the finance premium, there will be more people who need those. You know, and some of it's very justifiable. You know, they might put a whole nother module for doing some internal cash flow analysis that hasn't been done anywhere else, right? And if you're the person in charge of that, give me a premium because it makes my job better. And so that's, I don't have a problem with those, right? And so I think some of the corner case stuff like that, like the advanced planning stuff, Microsoft will continue enhancing those products further and adding more analytics and tying them into more Azure and Microsoft related features. You know, they like doing that. The advanced planning stuff, the stuff they did in supply chain management, the features that are in the premium there, those are all through acquisitions. They bought new technology and brought it in, and they'll do their usual. They'll bolt it in, make it all work properly, and then expand it out so that more people will want it, okay? Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think there are going to be more AI-related features. You know, right now, Dynamics has Copilot features that are at the enterprise level, right? What used to be the highest level. But I'm willing to bet over the next year that Microsoft will introduce advanced Copilot features that will only be available with premium subscriptions. And then, you know, they have to pay for the AI somehow.
Exactly.
But I think they will do that to try to draw more people into the premium levels. It's what they've done elsewhere. And so, you know, plan on that. Mm-hmm. The third one is not as much in Dynamics as we would have seen in Teams and in Office. But there are always this drive for advanced security capabilities. You know, like the finance and operations right now, you can't bring your own key for encrypting the data. Now, you can with customer service, but not in finance and operations. I would see someone coming along saying, well, we'll introduce a BYOK capability, but it requires you license your people with premium. And there'll be some hospitals and some investment brokerage houses that'll say, oh, we have to go that way then. And that'll be fine as well. So I kind of see those as being the major areas.
Yeah, that makes sense. It kind of, again, parallels what they've done with other product lines, right? So, yeah. Okay, so you and your report that you did for Directions are advising customers, like you said, don't panic, but you've got to be thinking about bigger budgets if you decide to stick with Dynamics and Microsoft in the space. So how long do you think customers might have before this happens, before Microsoft starts making Dynamics 365 premium SKUs so compelling that they're going to need to buy them for more of people in their user base?
Well, I don't have a problem with the compelling part.
Okay.
You know, so if, like in the finance and planning side of it, yeah, that's a great feature. And if I'm in a large organization and I want to do financial planning, advanced capabilities like what we're seeing now in this finance premium, you know, my IT department, we would have had to buy a third-party solution for $50,000. We would have had to drop it in for these four people. We'd have to support it, maintain it, do upgrades, everything else. Now, going with the finance premium allows me to avoid a lot of cost and risk that's there. And so if it's a compelling feature, absolutely fine. If it's something where they've moved it there and now they're teasing you and telling you have to go to premium in order to keep using it, that's when I start getting a little antsy about things. So I think what customers ought to do is they should mark this year and then watch it through 2025. Let's go through the next year and beyond. And we're going to watch as Microsoft puts more stuff into premium. And I'm going to track this on a chart so we can see it over time. Nice. Right. And it, I'll see the ones that they move from the lower levels. I'll see brand new things that they add in. But I think what they're doing, both positively and nefariously, is that they're pushing enterprise customers into premium. Okay? Yep. And I would suspect that customers over the coming years should start budgeting for at least a portion of their users going to premium, because it will become something you can't avoid at a certain point.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Andy. Always good to talk with you. And there's some good early warning indicators on here for you Dynamics customers. All right. To close, I would like to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage on all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the Directions Analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me, preferably via Twitter or X at Mary Jo Foley. And speaking of Twitter, give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT for all of the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.